You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, this is the My Favorite Elliot Smith Song podcast. This is the show where we speak to famous fans of Elliot Smith and people who've worked closely with him or on big projects about him to discuss their favorite song of his. And firstly, Happy New Year to you all and welcome back after the small Christmas hiatus. Or if you're giving us a go for the first time, then thank you very much for doing so. Hopefully it won't disappoint you too much. Anyway, on to this episode, and today we have Denny Swofford speaking to us. Denny is the co-founder of Cavity Search, the record label that released some early Heat Miser singles and put out Elliot's first album, Roman Candle. I really enjoyed this chat with Denny, and not just because he's a lovely, lovely guy. He was there at a very early stage in Elliot's career, so he's got quite a different take on things than some of the other guests that I've interviewed on this show, who I think it's fair to say discovered him a little bit later on. Denny's got loads of interesting stories about the early Heat Miser days. And it was also great to hear his memories of listening to the songs for the first time that would later become Roman Candle. So I'll stop talking now, which may come as a bit of a disappointment, and let Denny take over. This is the conversation I recorded with him when we spoke just before Christmas.
Well, since the name of the show is My Favorite Elliot Smith Song, I'm going to go with Stray, which is a Heat Miser song written by Elliot Smith.
And tell us why you've chosen Stray.
Myself and the co-founder of Cavity Search Records, my partner Christopher Cooper, and I put out Heat Miser's first record, which was a 7-inch, and the A-side was Stray. And the reason that that was the single for the first record was we had seen Heat Miser a number of times live in 1992. The single came out in 1993, and saw Heat Miser many times with a lot of the great Portland bands at the time, Hazel, Pond, Sprinkler, Cracker Bash. And the sets were always very intense. This band was spectacular band. I like to say they were the West Coast Fugazi. It's like Ian and Guy of Fugazi, or like Neil and Elliot of Heat Miser. I mean, it was just a spectacular, intense live band, a live experience that unfortunately doesn't come across in their studio recordings. While those are their good records, they don't really do the band justice, in my opinion. But seeing those early shows, there was this Elliot song, and the first couple times seeing him, I remember, I don't know what he's singing. What is he saying? And I remember this moment of clarity when I learned that what he was saying was Stray, and what he was leading into was, I feel like a stray. And I went, oh man, I get it. That's so intense. The Heat Miser songs that are written by Elliot are Elliot Smith songs. I mean, you could argue that across the board, he could have performed any of those songs with an acoustic guitar and they would have been spectacular. They are great songs. Heat Miser is one of my all-time favorite bands. If it's not for Heat Miser, well, we don't know how Elliot Smith as an artist unfolds. So, yeah, I mean, I look at those lyrics and it's like, it was a deep sleep. I woke up weak. I felt like a stray. I've been through a lot for nothing, shaking in agony. Used to nothing, coming to nothing. Are you coming to stay? Now, me reciting those lyrics doesn't do them justice, but I promise you, if you see this song performed by Elliot on stage with a rock band, it rips your head off. I mean, it's the cool thing about this song is that it's not a question. It's not Elliot trying to fix something, and it's not simply a story. It is straight away a pointed statement about how he feels, and it's really refreshing. And you know, those listeners who may know Elliot's story of his upbringing in Texas and maybe some of the challenges and formative years that he had there will hear this song and hopefully appreciate the song for what it is. I mean, it's very much about that time, I'm confident in saying, because he closes a few of the phrases with "When I wake up in the Lone Star State." It's for sure my favorite, because I just have these incredible memories of seeing the band play this song in a live environment. And just, you know, like I say, I mean, it's just so impactful physically, because there was such a loud, in-your-face, pogoing band with Brant Tony holding the rhythm section and Neil and Elliot up front just giving it to you back and forth. It's just, God, I miss the band. I just, it was such a weird ride with that band, because, you know, it wasn't that long after Dead Air came out that we put out Roman Candle. And it seems like the whole existence of Heat Miser had this thing going on where Elliot was doing his stuff on the side. And, you know, well, it just is what it is. And I certainly don't regret any of that, because it was thrilling to start Elliot's solo career. But I oftentimes wonder if Ellie didn't make solo records, what Heat Miser would have done. I mean, it just, we'll never know, but what a great band.
Denny, as you say, Elliot's first solo album, Roman Candle, came out on your label, Cavity Search. Explain to us how that album came to be released.
We'd put out The Stray 7-inch, which came out in 1993. And, at the time, my partner Christopher was working at a terrific Portland record store called Music Millennium, which still exists. And J.J. Gonson, Heat Miser's manager, floated in unannounced to Music Millennium and gave Christopher a cassette, said, "I want you to listen to this." Christopher called me immediately and asked me to come over, that he had something that he wanted me to listen to. So I drove my Volkswagen bus over to the shop, and we got in his Volkswagen bus, and he put the cassette in. And we sat there for, I don't know, a half hour, 45 minutes, listening to this cassette. I remember twice specifically thinking, this is Elliot? What is this? And just thinking, God, these songs are great. This is a terrific demo. What do we do with this? Are we doing a single? Are we, you know, what are we doing with this? And it didn't take long, you know, in the next couple of days, where we were plotting a way to convince Elliot that we needed to put out his first solo record. And come to find out, those weren't demos. That was the record. I mean, it's, you know, it's rough around the edges, but perfectly so. I mean, at the time, it would be difficult to find very much music, even in the indie world, that was, you know, kind of put out with that raw four-track cassette, little to no production. But, you know, now that we look at it 20-plus years later, it's I'm so glad they didn't let me get in there and ruin it and try and make it clean and re-record it, because it's got all of that roughness that we have come accustomed to hearing on that important record. And what it does is it just shows these songs, you know, it's hard to, you think about those songs and they're so important, you know, and it's just funny to think about hearing this cassette and thinking, oh, you know, this is pretty good. We should, you know, re-record these demos and put this out. I mean, thank God that didn't happen. You know, thank God we put it out, but I think it's just perfect. You know, it's perfect.
What kind of reaction were you expecting from, I guess, the wider public when you put the record out?
I think we had not very much expectation about what would happen. And for years, nothing did happen. I mean, we worked press and radio on this thing, and it's laughable to think about it now. I mean, no one would touch it. It was hard to get, you know, we got a review here and there in Portland after putting the record out, but everyone's in the Heat Miser state of mind. So they're like, they don't get it. It's, you know, technically it's poor. It's really quiet. is this really the guy from Heat Miser who, you know, screams at you from the stage? Yeah, I don't know. Expectations, I would say they were in check. And people don't seem to believe it now because, you know, most people weren't around or even born then that are listening to a lot of Elliott solo records now. But no one cared. We couldn't get reviews. We got zero airplay.
Does it give you a lot of, I guess, pride and satisfaction that these songs on Roman Candle are still so popular today?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. I'm really, really proud of the involvement. You know, it was very natural and organic that it worked out this way. But there were a lot of bands that could have taken that Heat Miser slot, and I'm just so glad that we went with that. And yeah, very, very proud.
So thank you very much to Denny Swofford then for being the fourth guest on this show. As always, if you've got any ideas for any other guests that I can speak to, please do leave a review or tweet me at Rob Comber. I'll be back again with another episode in a couple of weeks where I'm excited to say that Phoebe Bridges will be speaking to us. Phoebe was one of the breakthrough artists of last year whose album Strange in the Alps was on many people's top 50 lists. Hopefully that's enough to tempt you to come back next time. Fingers crossed, I'll see you then.